Welcome to the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Han.
And I'm Tim Hemming. And let's start with a couple of quick stats for you. In the last general election, 43% of 18 to 24-year-olds voted. In June, in the EU referendum, that was up to 64%. Young people are more interested in politics in any time for a generation. And two leading the charge are Charlotte Gerard and Joe Porter. They're heading a recently launched campaign called Undivided, which is run by and for young people to make their voices heard. How are they doing this? By collating the biggest concerns that 1 million 13 to 30-year-olds have submitted and taking that manifesto to Parliament.
Charlotte was a big Remainer while Joe campaigned to leave, so we chatted to both of them about how they can work together despite their differences and what part Britain's youth can play in the future of the country. If you enjoy the show, please do rate us on your podcast platform of choice. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe so you can get all upcoming episodes sent straight to your phone. If you want to send us suggestions for future guests, or if you just want to say hi, you can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
It's a warm welcome to Joe and Charlotte from Undivided, who are going to give us the opinion of the youth on Brexit. So welcome to both of you. I'm here with my colleague Jen for this one.
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Thank you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey, okay, so look, it's a four-way conversation, so hopefully the technology is not going to let us down. We're all kind of phoned in from different places. So first one, let's put this one to Joe. Joe, what's Undivided?
Undivided is a brand new national campaign that seeks to get the best possible Brexit deal for young people across the United Kingdom and to ensure that we have a strong voice throughout the Brexit negotiations.
So whose idea? Who came up with this?
Well, basically, there was a group of us a week after the EU referendum who felt quite sort of a sense of, I guess, hopelessness, I'll be honest, and a bit of anger and sadness about the way that the result went, but very much a feeling that something positive and constructive needed to be done, especially as, you know, young people, unfortunately, are often disregarded or ignored throughout political processes, and obviously younger the younger generations are having to live with the outcome of Brexit the longest. So a few of us gathered a week after the results. That included quite a number of sort of youth sector and youth social action charity CEOs, as well as some young people. And we, from there, just thought about how we could develop the campaign and how broad it should be. And we decided actually quite early on that this shouldn't just be about the EU referendum result and picking a side, and actually this should be about bridging the divides, especially as the divides in the country have got so deep, to bring young people together to basically crowdsource demands for Brexit. And quite rapidly, more and more people were involved. We held a mass participation event over a three-day period where we got over 50 young people to come along and sort of lay the foundations of the campaign, and we came up with the name and all the branding, and it's kind of just grown from there. So it's literally just evolved over the last month.
Now, I'm going to ask you both for a little bit of background to each of you. Charlotte, I think you were in the Remain camp, and it certainly sounded like that from your last answer.
Yeah.
But Joe, I think you voted Leave, is that correct? So you perhaps weren't so upset with the result of Brexit anyway.
Well, yes, on a personal level, I was delighted with the result. It's the result I wanted from day one during the campaign, of course, because I worked for Vote Leave. I was the Vote Leave campaign coordinator for North Staffordshire, and I was very proud to be part of that campaign. But the campaign is obviously not about us as individuals. It's about the bigger picture of getting that positive outcome for young people and also future generations that are to come to this country, because we're going to live, as Charlotte said, with the outcome the longest. But as someone who did vote Leave, on a personal level, I did feel very responsible to get involved and ensure that Brexit was a success, because obviously I wanted Brexit as to be the outcome. I therefore need to be part of ensuring that we have a high quality Brexit that benefits young people. But our campaign is obviously about ensuring that we get a list of 10 key Brexit demands from young people across the United Kingdom so that we can then present those Brexit demands to people like the Prime Minister, Theresa May, the Brexit Secretary, David Davis, and all the other key decision makers, also on the opposition benches as well. And that's what we're hoping to do as we gather these millions of young people's views via our unique online platform.
Okay, no, understood. So we will get on to those 10 reasons, but what was your fundamental reason for voting Leave in the first place?
Well, on a personal level, my number one reason was because I wanted people in this country to be able to decide the people who made our laws. So quite simply, I think you should be able to decide the people who are the lawmakers who decide how our everyday lives play out. And yeah, I wanted to just have control of our laws, money and own affairs. That was like the top reason. And also because I wanted the best possible future for young people. And I've always believed, you know, since I started getting involved in the Leave campaign, that that was for, that, that Brexit would enable that, that future to happen. But, you know, there are many reasons why people voted Leave across the country. As we've seen, you know, immigration was obviously a classic one that we've seen. But, you know, when we gather those demands, we're expecting lots of different reasons, you know, that cover both ends of the spectrum. Because obviously you've got young people that voted Remain overwhelmingly, but you've also got a section of young people who did vote Leave, mostly young people who perhaps are in, you know, in who have apprenticeships, who are in an apprenticeship, or perhaps didn't go to university and live in northern cities, who perhaps feel left behind. And we've got to ensure that every single young person, whether they voted Leave, Remain or didn't vote at all, is represented in this, because we're all one country and we need to be united behind the future of this country.
Okay. Charlotte, Joe's main reason for voting Leave was to take the sovereignty argument. You obviously wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that. I mean, politically, Joe and I don't agree on very much, but on a personal level, we get on very well. And yeah, it's been great actually working with him and also our other co-leader, Hafsa, who didn't vote at all because she was too young at the time. And I think we've been a great example of how people with completely different political views can work together to achieve really positive things. But in terms of my vote, I just thought that, you know, although the EU isn't a perfect institution and by far there's improvements that need to be made to address the democratic deficit that exists within it, I thought that it definitely would have been better, especially for future generations, to be part of the EU, because the EU has been responsible for making massive strides in terms of workers' rights and environmental rights and that kind of thing. But what I think is really exciting about Undivided is that there are still opportunities for us to put forward ideas, especially for policy, that we not just care about, but think will help to protect our environment and the future generation. And we don't necessarily have to be a part of the EU to ensure those things still happen and still exist. And it would be, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what comes up with those top 10 issues or, you know, policy areas that young people care about the most. Mm-hmm. But we're really seeing this situation as a political window of opportunity. You know, we won't be a part of the EU, but it doesn't mean that we still can't have protections and we can't secure our rights. So we'll be very keen to hear what young people think on those issues.
I actually think what you just touched on was probably the most interesting thing to me about Undivided, as in the whole country just seems to be at odds with each other right now. Just, you get people in the media just fighting each other about what they think is best and what should have happened and what shouldn't have happened, and even like people fighting with their parents because they had quite different views. And to see a group of young people come together and sort of take the high road, I found really just impressive. Was that quite hard for you guys in the beginning, or maybe even now still, to get over?
Yeah.
Or was it quite easy to take that road?
Well, to address your point directly there, when we first came together, it was difficult. The three of us as co-leaders, you know, we all had very different things, as you've probably just heard. You know, Charles and I had some fantastic discussions that were very interesting. They were very, you know, that highlighted the fact we had different views. However, one thing I need to point out, you know, both of us need to point out, is that the three of us as co-leaders, we united on three key areas, and we did say this during our interviews with the media during the campaign launch. We united on, you know, trying to get it on, you know, at the moment in this country we have huge regional inequality, and the EU funding did help. You know, I'll admit, you know, the EU funding did help to tackle those issues, and post Brexit we would like the government, the three of us would like the government to continue to fund, you know, those key regions to help, you know, deal with those inequality issues. We're all passionate about climate change, of course, because the EU was key in tackling climate change. But as Charlotte said, outside the EU, we can still be champions tackling climate change, and the three of us agree on that. And also, we agree on Britain becoming a global player, you know, increasing our soft power around the world and creating opportunities for young people in this country to prosper and get up the social mobility ladder. So, you know, but it's not about us three and our opinions, it's about the opinions of the millions of young people out there. But I just wanted to point out those three key areas where the three of us are in agreement, and that's what brings us together.
How old are you both?
I'm 20.
I'm 28, and Hafsa, who is our other fellow co-leader, is 17.
Right, so she didn't have a vote?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think the voting age should have been lower, as it was with the vote for Scottish independence?
I mean, I personally believe in a lower voting age in general, yes. But that might, again, that might be something that comes up with our, you know, the demands that come through for our crowdsourcing platform. And I think that is actually something to point out. You know, we're not, it will be interesting to see if the demands that come through, if they end up being a bit broader than about the sort of specifics of Brexit negotiations. Because we know that there is definitely a large section and a big movement in the UK for young people to reduce the voting age. So that'll be interesting to see.
Okay.
Have you guys been looking at the results as they're coming in, or are you not sort of looking at any of them until you have all a million of them?
We have some initial findings of, you know, we have a bit of an idea of what the top things might be. And the three things I just highlighted are, yeah, they're pretty high up the agenda from what we can see, but we wouldn't want to give anything away at this moment because obviously we want to gather as many young people's views as possible and then get a true picture of what young people in every part of the United Kingdom thinks. Because, you know, as we pointed out, we have, you know, regional hubs all over the country. We have regional leagues everywhere. So, you know, we have all these big regional events to ensure that all four of the United Nations within the United Kingdom are represented. And I didn't address the vote at 16 points. I apologise, I forgot to address that after Charlotte spoke. On that issue, on a personal level, I have supported it in the past, but right at this moment in time, I am on the fence, actually, to be quite honest with you, on a personal level. I am open to persuasion, but I do have doubts about it as well.
What are your doubts?
Well, my doubts are whether that's the solution to improving engagement. To me, improving engagement amongst young people is more about issue-based politics and campaigns like this than lowering the vote age. But that's my personal view and not the view of the campaign. The campaign will obviously, you know, if one of the key demands is vote 16, then that's what we'll campaign for. That's what felt is in the best interest of those young people based on the results. And that might be one of the 10 demands, you know, that we'll have to wait and see. But I, myself, I'm on the fence.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the engagement for a second. Since you started this, have you become more energised, and have you been impressed by the sort of mobilisation of the youth, or have you become just more disillusioned that it's a political battle that you've really not got a voice in at all?
I've been incredibly impressed by the response from young people so far with the campaign. You know, we've had people that have got involved that said that they, you know, hadn't voted previously, wouldn't ever consider thinking about anything political. And we've had a lot of young people come and join the campaign because of their amazing skills that they want to put on offer. So we have a whole range of teams, like a tech team, a creative team. We have lots of young people who have specialist skills in these areas who have come in and got involved and have become more politicised in the issue on the through the process of being involved. And the sort of secondary objective of this campaign is that we want to help to educate young people about Brexit and about the negotiations, but also to politicise young people. And it's a really exciting opportunity, I think, in terms of getting young people to realise that they can have a voice, and it might just be that in with the current political parties and the way that they communicate with the wider public, you know, they are very old-fashioned means of communication, but we're meeting young people at their level. We're using the digital tools that they use on a daily basis. You know, we'll have social media engagement, we'll have our website. We also have a whole range of offline events as well on a more localised level. But so far, the response has been really impressive. You know, within the first month, we had 100 young people being involved in some shape or form, and we only see those numbers sort of, you know, rapidly expanding now we've launched.
What sort of numbers are we talking about?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure how many young people we've got signed up as of Wednesday from our launch, but certainly prior to our launch, we had about 150 young people who in some way, shape or form had signed up to deliver a specific part of the campaign, or to share content, or to, as Joe pointed out, we have recruited a whole range of regional leaders in all of the nations and regions of the country, and they're organising grassroots events in their own communities. And we're also developing a digital toolkit so that anyone can download the toolkit and deliver a workshop or an event in their own community. So we expect lots of teachers to sign up to this, lots of school children. Yeah, so really possibilities are endless in terms of levels of engagement.
And then, of course, you've already had 417 people, I just checked on your guys' website, have their say via those forms that you have on your website. So that's quite an impressive amount as well, right? Considering when did you launch that application?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah, as well. So that's, I mean, for considering how much sort of, I don't want to say effort, but it takes a lot to sort of voice your political concerns. It's not something you do in maybe a minute and then send it off. So I think that's quite an impressive number as well, right?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, well, you know, it is these days in this current political landscape, young people do feel that it's difficult to express their views. And as Charlotte's pointed out, you know, at the moment we have a very traditional political setup here in the United Kingdom, and that's been the case for quite a while. We haven't modernised as much as we perhaps could have. That's not to say, you know, a lot of our traditions are great things, and I would hate for some of those things to go. However, quite clearly, that's not working for young people, because young people are not engaging nearly anywhere near as much as they possibly could. And that's why we within Undivided are taking a very different approach. We obviously are using this online digital platform, and we're trying to make politics more accessible and much more simple for young people. So if you look at the language on our website, for instance, we use very simple language that anybody can understand, because we want politics to be an inclusive experience for young people. We want them to feel as if their views matter, because as we've seen, you know, we're heading more towards issue-based politics, and that's why throughout our campaign, one thing we're looking to do is to run like sessions and events on some of those key issues that could come up in the list of demands, so that we can get young people engaged in some of those post-Brexit Britain issues that are going to affect our generation, of course, more than any other, because we live with the outcome of the negotiations the longest, and we often want to form a part of deciding those priorities. But it's important young people understand the complexity of all those issues that are currently at stake at the moment.
Joe, Joe, do you have anybody who's out there championing the work that you're doing at the moment? Have you got any ambassadors for Undivided? Is there any celebrities, any politicians behind you?
Actually, our campaign was, when it was officially launched in the Liberty office, it was launched by a guy called Jamal Edwards. He's quite famous amongst young people, and he's given us quite a bit of Twitter coverage as well, so he's been very supportive towards the campaign.
So I'm way too old. Tell me who he is.
Charlotte knows more about him than I do, I believe.
He's a film director, and he's just a young person from London, came from quite an underprivileged background, and he's now sort of a big-time film director and sort of rubbing shoulders with really sort of famous celebs.
Okay.
We weren't actually at the launch event at Liberty because we were doing the media round, but from what we hear, he went down really well, and he was very supportive and, you know, really thought the concept of the campaign was excellent.
And in terms of political parties, have you had any response from those guys?
Yeah, I mean, we had quite a few supportive tweets on the day of our launch. Joe, do you want to outline a few of those?
Well, you know, Chucker Amuna, he's probably our most high-profile one to date, I think, isn't he, Charlotte, who's shown his support towards our campaign. Stella Creasy, she's also shown support. And, you know, I'm in private conversations with a number of MPs about gaining their support, but we do. But obviously, it's difficult to get the support of MPs because they want to obviously know the outcome of those Brexit demands. They want to see what young people think, first of all. But, you know, we have got a great deal of support. And, you know, it's worth pointing out, we've also got support from a large number of charities and youth organisations out there. So some of the UK's leading youth charities are supporting. So we've got UK Youth, we've got V Inspired, we've got Generation Change, we've obviously got Liberty who are housing us at the moment, we've got Ahsoka, you know, we've got a whole list of people who are working. If you look on our website, actually, we've got a list of partners, and we've also got more people than it says on there supporting our campaign going forward, and you know, their networks are helping us to expand, particularly on the regional side of things, because they're working very closely with all those charities.
I'd quite like to ask you guys a bit more of a personal question. I'm about the same age as you guys, and I hear so much sort of stereotyping about our generation being really apathetic to politics, and obviously both of you are really active as activists and campaigners, and I'm curious how you got involved in that and sort of what tips you'd have for young aspiring world changers, I suppose. I've had a passion for politics from a really young age, mainly because of my own background and the sort of personal challenges I faced and the injustices I sort of witnessed as a young person.
Can you give us a little bit more on your background?
I just came from a pretty working class migrant family. I'm a second generation migrant to the country. My family are from Malta. So just seeing, you know, the challenges that my family faced in economically. I grew up in Portsmouth and, you know, didn't go to particularly good state comp and that kind of thing. So definitely that kind of laid a foundation for me in terms of my politics. But then I'd say my activism and campaigning was accelerated at university. And for anyone that is going to university, what I would really recommend is to get involved in as much as possible, because it's just an amazing sort of hotbed of activity. And the great thing is when you're a student is that you actually have time to commit to campaigning, whereas, you know, once you get a full-time job, it's hard to sort of stay committed and have the time to do other things on the side. And it's a real amazing opportunity to sort of, you know, explore what you think about certain things and to propel yourself into different issues, and to sort of politicise yourself and gain a bit of political consciousness yourself into at university.
Where did you study? Give a shout out to your political group.
I studied at the London School of Economics. And I was the general secretary of my students' union the year of the tuition fee vote. So if there ever was a year in student politics to get politicised and get angry and try to change things, I think that year would definitely be one.
Do you get a sense of empowerment from fighting battles and getting into politics and getting your teeth into something? Think it improves you as a person?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sort of on a practical level, it's an amazing way to gain a lot of skills really quickly. I'd say that my year as general secretary, I learned more that year than I have done in any other year of my life. And it's a great opportunity to just hear about how other people have to live and like the battles that they're facing, and to turn that sort of anger or sadness and then to basically flip it and to make it into something positive and productive. And people do win things. I mean, unfortunately, our national curriculum and in this country, we don't really learn too much about the movements and their victories. And I think that's a real failure of our education system. But if you look to history and even very recent history, you know, all of the freedoms that we enjoy today, it doesn't come by luck. It's come from people literally putting their lives and their liberty on the line for it. So, I think reading up as much as possible and experiencing as much as possible and being a good ally as much as possible is very important.
So I've been involved in politics since I was 12. So I've been involved in politics for the past 8 years. I've been a member of the Conservative Party for the past 7 years, since I was 13. What got me involved in politics was I was very active in the environment, in the environmental movement, actually. Very involved with Staffordshire Wildlife Trust and, you know, being an eco-buddy at school, you know, focused on recycling and protecting the wildlife and the environment. And I became a member of Youth Parliament at the age of 15, where I represented 23,700 young people on a local, regional and national level. And, you know, I did that and, you know, I represented local young people for a few years doing that, you know, the British Youth Council and the my local youth council. After that, I wanted to become a local councillor for quite a long time. So I immediately became a local councillor at the age of 18 at the earliest possible opportunity 2 years ago. So I became the youngest local councillor in the country at the time. Obviously now I'm not, because there are people who are younger than me, but I'm still remain one of the youngest. I'm currently a parish councillor on Endingwith Stanley Parish Council. I'm a Conservative councillor. And throughout that time, I've been very involved with a charity called UK Youth. I represent the West Midlands on their voice panel. I worked for Vote Leave, and I led the Vote Leave campaign for North Staffordshire, which I'm sure you're aware, 70% of North Staffordshire voted Leave, so it's a very strong Leave area around here. And after the referendum, as I said before, I wanted to be part of making sure Brexit was a success for this country, particularly young people.
You said you got involved politically at around 12, right?
I did. I know it's a very young age, but yes.
Yeah, so what, sort of at that age, what is it that inspired you? Because that's not a typical thing that 12-year-olds are maybe interested in.
I know it's quite young. What inspired me was, I'm trying to think now exactly what it was. It was all to do with seeing others achieve great change. And, you know, I have this natural sensation inside me where, you know, if I've worked really hard to try and make a positive difference to the lives of others, and I successfully do that, it gives me a lot of personal pleasure that I've helped others and that what I've done has hopefully made a difference to their lives. It also gives me great pleasure being part of a team that can do that collectively. It's not just about individuals, it's about teams working together to achieve that change.
No, it's just a final one, really, and maybe Charlotte could take this one. If we've got some young people listening to this, What should they do now?
Well, we would encourage them to go to weareundivided.co.uk. They can go on there and they can submit their demand for post-Brexit Britain. And we encourage all young people to think ambitiously and very broadly about what they would like to see, not just in terms of specifically the Brexit negotiations, but what would they generally like to see in Britain? You know, if there's anything they want changed or made better, they should put that demand down. They'll also have the opportunity to vote on the 10 sample demands that we've put up that came from an early piece of research that we did when the campaign was just initially evolving. So they'll be able to vote on those. And they should also check us out on Twitter. So it's @WeAreUndivided. And we are also on Facebook as well with the same name. And there they can keep up to date. And if anyone at all, wherever you are in the country, if you want to get involved in any way, shape or form, then get in touch, because we have a campaign team and subgroups that focus on specific areas of delivering the campaign. But we also have a complete national and regional rollout where young people can either get involved in events that have already been organised, or young people can organise their own events. So we're empowering young people to get totally involved, but at whatever level they feel comfortable with.
And could I also add to that, on Twitter, during the launch day, we trended at #3 with our hashtag #WeDemand. So if people do want to tweet their demands or tweet us, we would appreciate if they use the hashtag #WeDemand so that we get their message and their message reaches all those key decision makers. And, you know, another thing we would also encourage, we won't just encourage, the age group is between 13 and 30. That's the age group of the young people we're targeting. But we would also encourage parents and grandparents to encourage their children to get involved as well, because, you know, we want to bring families together and communities and generations together as part of this campaign. We want everybody to see that positive post-Brexit future for young people. And, you know, it's not just about the young people, it's also about those older generations getting involved and trying to understand that future vision for young people.
For timings, when are we going to see some results?
Basically, there'll be a kind of slight process of refinement, and then we'll hopefully end up with a youth Brexit manifesto. So that'll be based off of those top 10 demands, the ones that get voted on the most on our website. So by January, February of next year, we should have a beautiful youth Brexit manifesto with a mandate of at least 1 million voices.
And that's it for today. I really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please do feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram @brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming and Warren Pohl, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin McLeod.